learning some of the laws pertaining to yeshiva sukkah and the proper way in which we're supposed to look at this mitzvah, which I recall back in the good old days when I was in yeshiva, I was a bachur, that I used to spend literally about 21 hours a day in a sukkah, certainly on Yom Tov, and it used to bother me because the only time I used to leave was to go to shul. And maybe now it's close to 3 hours a day, but this is what the Mechaber tells us with regard to yeshiva sukkah, which may be something which we should be changing, or at least understanding the optimal way of this mitzvah. Ochlin v'shosin v'yishenim b'sukkah. He says that a person should eat, drink, and sleep in a sukkah. Kol sheva bein b'yom bein b'layla, which would mean even a nap if you sleep in the sukkah. It doesn't mean only at night. If you happen to be taking a nap, you take a nap in the sukkah. And when it comes to eating, you have a midnight snack you want to eat, you should go into the sukkah. V'ein yishenim chutz l'sukkah afilu shnas arai. When it comes to eating, we're different. The laws are different than sleeping. Looking at what happens around, you would probably think, without what I just read, that we're more lenient when it comes to sleeping, because very few people do so. Eating, that's what we all do. But in fact, in halacha, it's the opposite. It says that when it comes to sleeping, not only should a person sleep in a sukkah, but they should not leave and sleep out of the sukkah even a temporary sleep, a shnas arai. And the Mishnah Berurah discusses this. Actually, the Gemara gives two answers to this question. The Mishnah Berurah tells us, de'pa'amin, because sometimes, de'sagli le'inish b'hachi. He says that the difference between eating and sleeping is that when it comes to eating, you can have a large meal or you can have a small meal. And a small meal, when we're hungry, it just doesn't do it. You have to eat a lot more. However, when it comes to sleeping, as we all know, you can sleep, take a nice 3-hour nap, it turns out not being so nice. You end up waking up even more tired than before you went to sleep. On the other hand, sometimes you only sleep for a few minutes, and all of a sudden you feel refreshed, and v'havi lekeva, that already is to you as though it's set. And therefore there's really no such thing, this is one of the answers the Gemara gives, of why a person should not sleep even shnas arai, because there's no such thing as such a sleep. Then the Mishnah Berurah says, "Shehu shir hiluch me'am," that if one would want to define what exactly is a temporary sleep, if we could do so, it would be the amount that a person would walk the distance of 100 amos. An amo, let's translate as a foot and a half or 2 feet. It's not very far or very long. He says that if you sleep even less than that, which is a matter of just a few seconds, really doesn't do a whole lot. And therefore, it's not even considered to be temporary. According to the words of the Prima Gadim, that perhaps that's not an issue to sleep just for those few moments. And this is actually, the Gemara discusses, is one of the differences between sukkah and the wearing of tefillin. That there's a way that if you know that you're going to be woken up, then it's not such an issue. Specifically, if a person takes their head, as it's brought down in the Gemara, and places it by their knees in a very uncomfortable manner, that even if you would doze off, it would only be for a few moments. When it comes to a sukkah, again, we're more particular, that we don't even want you to sleep for even such a small amount of time. Then the Mechaber continues and says, "Avumutu lechol achilas harai chutz sukkah." A person is allowed to have small snacks, or a snack out of the sukkah. But kam achilas harai, what is that consist of? So the Mechaber says, kibeya mipas. It's comparable to the volume of an egg size of bread. Umutu lishtos mayim. You can drink water. Also, v'yayin lechol peros chutz sukkah. A person can have small measures of wine, which he won't get into, or eating a fruit, even if it's a significant amount, outside of the sukkah. So the question is, why is that allowed? So the Mishnah Berurah discusses, as we mentioned numerous times, the idea of teshvu kein tiduru, that the way that we're supposed to conduct ourselves during this time of sukkah is comparable to the way that we act throughout the rest of the year in our homes. Says the Mishnah Berurah, the zeh luchashiv l'chayv basukah, a small amount of eating, just grabbing a bite to eat, a little snack, that's not something which you'd be obligated to be in a sukkah. The afbe beso, mutzi shoyich l'orai chutz l'beso. We find very often that we'll eat such meals outside of the home. So you can say, well, how about nowadays where you have drive-thrus and people eat in the car? Well, maybe that's a sign that we're not supposed to do that. But the Mechaber then says, Mishe yachmir al atzma, if a person wishes to be strict upon themselves, lo yishte chutz l'sukkah, afilu mayim, harizim shubach. If you want to be very careful not even to drink a sip of water outside the sukkah, even though it's certainly not necessary, because again, as within the realm of the halacha, you only have to eat in the sukkah as you in your home. But if you are particular during this time, then that's something which you should be praised. Now, it would be wrong just to leave it at this point, because according to this, we've just read the words of the Mechaber that clearly say that we are supposed to be sleeping in a sukkah. And the question is, why don't we? The answer can't be, all right, we're all wrong. Right? There has to be some excuse why we're not doing it. So this is the famous words of the Ramah. The Ramah tells us, "Umashno hagin lahakil achshav b'sheina." The reason why, as we're sweltering inside here, that we're not allowed, or should, do not have to, or we can be lenient with regard to sleeping in a sukkah, is the following reason, which, again, after what we just experienced today, it's kind of hard to follow, that say that this is the reason of that we don't sleep in a sukkah. But let's see what the Ramah says. Says, Shein yishin b'sukkah rak hamadaktakin b'mitzvos. Only those who are very, very particular. Why is that? Yesh omrim mishum sina. Because it is just freezing outside. Yesh sar lishin b'mkomos Hakarim. And as we mentioned before, that mitzta'er, if you are in anguish, if it's too difficult for you to function, living and sleeping in such a place, then certainly you're not obligated to fulfill the mitzvah in such an environment. And therefore, because it's so frigid and cold outside, at least where the Ramah lived, that's the reason why a person does not have to sleep in the sukkah. And the Mishnah Berurah says, "Im kain misha ein lo karim uksos karoi v'esh sina ein lo hachmer lishon sham denikra hedid." If you do not have the proper garments and blankets to keep you warm, and you say, "No, I want to sleep in the sukkah. I don't care if it's freezing and the snow is piling on top of me. I still want to be strict." No, that's considered you're a hedyot. That's not something which is praiseworthy, because you're putting your life and health in danger, which is not something which you should do. And therefore, in the event that you are living in a cold environment, which certainly sometimes at night we can say that that's the case even here, then that's one reason why one does not sleep in a sukkah. We'll see one other answer. The Ramah says, "Linira mishum de mitzvah sukkah ish ubeso." He says that the mitzvah, just as one would live in their home, is with their spouse. Kederach shehu dar kol hashana, as we are all year round, that we would not separate ourselves from our spouse. Umamakim she lo yochalishan imishto shein lo sukim yuchenes pater. So if you have a sukkah which is out, it does not give you all that much privacy, then you're going to be pater, because you're not going to have to be in the sukkah, and then your wife will not be in the sukkah because she doesn't have the obligation to be there. And therefore, because of that, you don't have to be there either. But Tov l'hachmir leo sham ishto, but he concludes, it's better to be there with the missus, kamo shehu dar kol hashana, as you are together all year, im esher liyos lo sukkah miyuchedes, provided that you have the proper provisions for both of you. So this is the second reason that, based on the concept of teishu kin tedur, that we act in our homes in a specific way, that is, we are not breaking our family we are together. So too in a sukkah, we are supposed to be together, and therefore, when it comes to a sukkah where a woman does not have the obligation, therefore you would not have to sleep separately, and therefore you can not sleep in the sukkah. But the Mishnah Berurah concludes, as will we, with the following statement: Bir Hagra Cholik Al Zeh. The Gra disagrees. The Lon Miftar Mishum Zeh. He says this is certainly not a reason that one does not have to sleep in a sukkah. But Gam Magen Avraham Masik Dimishum Zeh Lo Miftar. Other people say, such as the Magen Avraham, that this is not a logical reason. But he concludes without specifying, V'lima Zchus Acher Al Ha'olam. Since so many of us including myself, do not sleep in a sukkah, certainly must be limitzchus to be able to say that reason why we do not do so. And therefore, for another reason, again, which is not specified, many of us are not nohag to sleep in a sukkah. But nonetheless, we should be aware that it's something which is clearly mentioned in the Gemara as well in the halacha.